Part 7, Chapter 6. In the clear, cold noon, they were on their way for a first look at the load. Johnny, Robert the Fox, the three who looked similar to Johnny, and the two Scott mining shift leaders who had been appointed sped along in the small personnel carrier, high above the grandeur of the Rockies. Turl had come early that morning, threatening and secretive. His ground car had been spotted sometime since by a posted sentry, and Johnny had been warned. Wrapped in a puma skin against the dawn chill, Johnny met the ground car as it stopped. Breakfast was just over in the mess hall, and a warning had been sent to stay inside. The grounds were nearly deserted, and there was nothing to distract Turl's attention. He got out, tightening his breathe mask, and stood there tossing the remote control box idly into the air and catching it in his paw.
"Why,"
said Turl,
"are you interested in a uranium detector?"
Johnny frowned and looked mystified, or tried to.
"I heard after you left the other day that you repaired the ore duster with a picto recorder around your neck. Ha!"
Johnny decided on a sudden verbal attack.
"You expect me to go up into those mountains without knowing what to avoid? You expect me to go tearing around getting myself wrecked?
Wrecked!
Physically wrecked from uranium contamination.
See here, animal. You can't talk this way to me.
When you know very well that I could be made sick if I didn't avoid uranium dust. You've told me there's uranium up there, and you expect me..."
"Wait a minute. What are you talking about?"
"Mining toxicology,"
snapped Johnny. The kilted sentry who had called him was standing by the mess hall door, looking daggers and dirks at Turl.
"Sentry!"
shouted Johnny.
"Grab a book, any book in English, and bring it here, fast!"
Johnny turned back to Turl. The running footsteps of the sentry could be heard inside the building. Turl put the control box back in his pocket so his gun paw could be free, just in case. The sentry rushed out with an ancient volume labeled The Poems of Robert Burns. He had snatched it from the parson who was reading at breakfast. It would have to do. Johnny snapped it open. He put his finger on a line that said, "We sleek it, cowrin' timorous beastie."
"See there?"
he demanded of Turl.
"In the presence of uranium, a man's hair falls out. His teeth fall out. His skin develops red blotches, and his bones crumble. And it happens in just a few weeks of exposure."
"You don't explode?"
"It doesn't say anything here about explosion, but it says that continuous exposure to uranium dust can be fatal. Read it yourself."
Turl looked at a line that said something about, "Oh, what a panic's in thy breastie," and said,
"So it does. I didn't know that."
"You know it now,"
said Johnny. He closed and thumped the book.
"I found this by accident. You didn't tell me. Now, are you going to let me have a detector, or aren't you?"
Turl looked thoughtful.
"So, your bones turn to dust, do they? And it takes a few months?"
"Weeks,"
said Johnny. Turl began to laugh. His paw dropped from his belt gun, and he swatted himself in the chest, catching his breath.
"Well,"
he said at length,
"I guess you'll just have to take your chances, won't you?"
It hadn't worked. But Turl was totally off the scent now, actually feeling more secure.
"That wasn't what I came over here for, anyway. Can we go someplace less public?"
Johnny handed the book back to the sentry with a wink to reassure him. The Scot had enough sense not to grin. But Turl was rummaging around the ground car. He beckoned Johnny to follow and took him back of the chapel, where there were no windows. He had a big roll of maps and photos, and he sat down on the ground. He motioned for Johnny to hunker down.
"Your animals are all trained?"
"As well as can be expected."
"Well, notice, you've had a couple extra weeks."
"They'll do."
"All right now, we have come to the time to be real miners."
He rolled out the map, It was a patch-up of sectional running shots from a recon drone, and it condensed about 2,000 square miles of the Rocky Mountains from Denver to the west.
You can read one of these?
Yes.
Turl snapped the head of a canyon with his talon.
It's there.
Johnny could almost feel the surge of greed in Turl. His voice was a conspiratorial mutter.
It's a load of white quartz with streamers of pure gold in it. It's a freak, exposed by a landslide in recent years.
And he took a large photograph out of the pack. There it was, a diagonal slash of white in the red side of a canyon. Turl took a closer shot and showed it. Fingers of pure gold could be seen threading through the quartz. Johnny would have spoken, but Turl held up his paw to stop him.
You fly over and take a close look at it. When you've seen it and gotten it oriented as a mining problem, you come back and see me and I will clarify any questions as to procedure.
He tapped the location on the larger map.
Memorize that spot.
Johnny noted that the map bore no markings. Clever Turl. No clues if the map went adrift. He sat there and let Johnny study the map. Johnny knew these mountains, but he had never had a detailed picture of them from this angle, above. Turl put all his papers away, except the map.
Hold on to that.
He stood up.
How long do we have to get it out?
Day 91 of the coming year. That's 6.5 months away.
That's also winter,
said Johnny. Turl shrugged.
It's always winter up there. 10 months of winter and 2 months of fall.
He laughed.
Fly over and look at it, animal. Take a week or two to study it out, and then come over, and we'll have a private meeting. And this is confidential, do you hear? Outside of your animals, say nothing.
Turl had gone off playing catch with the control box. His ground car roared away back to the compound. A couple of hours later, Johnny's party was flying high above the Rockies.
That's the first time,
said one of the scouts behind Johnny,
that I knew Robbie Burns was toxic.
Johnny turned. He thought the sentry must have gotten aboard.
You speak Cyclo that well?
Of course,
said the Scot, and showed the ruler bruises on the back of his hand. He was one of the lads chosen because of his resemblance to Johnny.
I was putting an ear to a window on the second floor above you. He can't understand English, can he?
One of our very few advantages. I didn't get the uranium detector.
Well,
said Robert the Fox,
it's a very optimistic man that thinks he can win all the battles. What are all those villages down there?
It was true. There were old towns here and there throughout this section of the mountains.
They're deserted. I've been to some of them. No population but rats. Mining ghost towns.
'Tis a sad thing. All this space and all kinds of food and no people. And over in Scotland, there's little space that will grow anything, and hardly any food at all. It's a dark chapter in history we've been through.
We'll change it,
said a young Scot behind him.
Aye, if we have any luck. All this great broad world full of food and no people. What are the names of those grand peaks down there?
I don't know. If you look on the mind map, you'll see they just give them numbers. I think they had names once, but people forgot. That one over there, we just call High Peak.
Hey!
Said a young Scot.
There's sheep down on that mountainside!
He was using a hand telescope.
They're called bighorns. It's quite a feat to hunt one down. They can stand on a ledge not bigger than your hand, and sail off and land on another one not wider than 2 fingers.
And there's a bear!
Said the Scot.
What a big one!
The bears will go into hibernation soon. I'm surprised one is out at this altitude.
Some wolves are following him.
Laddies, we are hunting bigger game. Keep your eye out for the canyon.
Johnny spotted it shortly before 1 o'clock.